presenting Hop Harrigan, America's ace of the airwaves.
CX-4 calling control tower. CX-4 calling control tower. Standing by.
Control tower, back to CX-4. Wind southeast. Ceiling 1200. All clear.
Okay, this is Hop Harrigan coming in. Yes, it's America's ace of the airwaves. Coming in for another transcribed episode in the adventures of Hop Harrigan.
During the past few years, we've been seeing occasional pictures of the flying wing. We know now from recent pictures and Air Force announcements that the Air Force of the future will definitely include flying wing planes. Some of them, perhaps all, will be jet-propelled. But aside from the fact that the flying wing is just what its name implies, a giant flying machine with all the planes sort of condensed down into the wing, just what do you know about it? And why should the Northrop Company, the pioneer manufacturer, be putting so much time on flying wing experiments? Well, here's how aeronautical engineers look at it. A flying wing is the closest thing to a plane made up entirely of supporting air surfaces. Every part of the plane works to lift that plane into the air. The men who are working on the big wings are completely sold on it. They say that someday, and it won't be too far off either, both the military and private users of planes will be utilizing flying wing designs. They stress the fact that on the conventional plane, only the wing does the lifting. But every part of the plane contributes to the drag or air resistance once it's up in the sky. In the flying wing, every part of the plane sets up resistance too. However, every part of the plane supplies lift and helps support the plane in midair. And since it is the drag that requires horsepower to push the plane through the air, well, that means that in the final analysis, the flying wing is the most practical design. In just a few minutes, I'll have some more information about the flying wing, and I think you'll find it interesting. So don't forget to listen. And now for our story. The theft of the Wonder Horse, Sequoia, and the disappearance of his owner, movie star Dixie Davenport, have forced Hop and Hank into desperate action. Knowing that Tex Regan was behind the entire scheme, aided by Dixie's personal pilot, Joe Bell, the boys conducted an intense aerial search and finally located Regan's ranch house when Dixie herself managed to signal for help. Ordering Tank to go back to camp and call the police, Hop bailed out. But last time, you recall, when he talked to Dixie through the flats of the ranch house and learned that Joe Bell was going to take Dixie and her horse, Sequoia, up in the transport and then let it crash, the young pilot made a startling announcement.
If they want to get tricky, so are we. I'm going to let Joe Bell capture me.
Now, it is later that same evening. Dixie is still imprisoned in a small room at the ranch house, pacing up and down nervously, wondering at Hop's strange decision. When a key rattles in the door, she comes to an abrupt stop. The door swings open, and she turns to face her former pilot, Joe Bell.
Hey there, Miss Dixie.
What do you want, Joe?
Well, I was fixing myself something to eat, and I thought maybe you'd be hungry, too.
Why, that's very thoughtful of you, Joe. And will I get a hearty breakfast before we take off in the morning?
Take off? Oh, he told you.
Yes, he told me. Quite an ingenious little plan. We fly into the mountains, you damage the controls and bail out, and then your troubles are over.
Tex shouldn't have told you.
Oh, he was having a fine time, Joe. Will you have a fine time tomorrow morning?
It's got to be done.
Why?
You know too much.
I promised I wouldn't tell anyone.
We can't take a chance.
You'd rather take a chance with murder, Joe?
Nobody can prove a thing. I'll be safe.
Will you? You'll be living with your conscience all the rest of your life.
Look, I didn't come in here to get a sermon. You want something to eat, or don't you?
No, thank you, Joe.
Okay. I don't think you can pull any funny stuff with me. I'm staying up all night.
I won't try to escape, Joe. And I suggest you get all the sleep you can tonight. You'll never sleep in peace again.
No, shut up. Hey, what was that?
Why, I didn't hear anything.
You don't, huh? There's somebody at that window pulling boards out.
Oh, you're imagining things, Joe.
Like fun I am. You get back and stay in that corner.
But I...
Move, I said. And keep still one year out of you, and I won't wait until morning.
Listen, can you hear me?
Oh, it's your pal Harrigan, huh?
Listen, answer me.
Go on, answer me.
Yes, Hop?
Are you alone?
You know what to say.
Yes, Hop.
Good. As soon as I get another one of these flats out of the window, there'll be enough room for you to get out.
So that's what's going on, huh?
Joe, please, don't shoot.
Don't worry.
I haven't seen Joe in a minute. I hope he doesn't show up.
Tell him I'm in the kitchen.
I,
think he's in the kitchen, Hop.
Fine. Yeah. What a tough of a nice spot.
Yeah. Maybe I ought to help you.
Joe, what are you going to do?
Shut up.
Hey, Sixty.
Yes, Hop.
I saw your plane. Thought we might use it for our getaway, but somebody's been fooling around with it.
Ask him what he means.
What do you mean, Hop?
The pins on the tail controls have been loosened. Plane won't stay in the air 5 minutes. Easy enough to fix, of course, but I just didn't want to take the time. Get quiet. Get us out of here. Yeah. Yeah. There. Okay, come on now. I'll help you out.
No, you don't, Harrigan. Let me help you in.
Sixty, you told me.
I'm sorry, Hop. He had a gun on you.
Come on, Harrigan. Climb in.
Okay.
And take it easy. Don't get any bright ideas.
Hardly with that cannon sticking in my face.
Fine, Sir Lancelot, I turned out to be. Try to rescue a lady and walk right into a trap.
Get over in the corner next to Miss Dixie.
Okay, I will.
Sorry, Dixie.
Now, Harrigan, talk. What do you mean the pins on the tail controls are loose?
Exactly what I said.
You loosened them.
You crazy?
Where's Tinker? He did it.
Tinker's on his way to the police right now.
The police?
Say, where's Regan, anyway?
He left a little while ago. He went into Boston to get the money.
Oh, I see. Then when he has it, he'll notify Joe and you'll be released. Is that it?
Hardly. Joe's going to take me for a nice plane ride in the morning.
Shut up, Miss Dixie.
I will not. He's going to fly my ship into the mountains and then bail out. And Sequoia and I will crash.
Oh?
And now you're coming along, too, pal.
Yeah, but where does Regan fit into this?
Regan and Joe will meet in Las Vegas tomorrow night, where they'll split the money.
$25,000 apiece? Murder comes cheap these days, doesn't it?
Listen, Harrigan.
Well, doesn't it? You do all the work. You kidnap the horse. You're going to kill us, and you split evenly with Regan. What did he do to earn his share?
Shut up!
You won't get away with it, Joe.
Oh, nice. Thanks for telling me about the cops. We'll just move up our schedule a couple of hours. We'll take off right now.
Huh?
Thought you were pretty smart, didn't you?
No, not really, but at least I can see a little farther than my nose.
What do you mean by that crack?
Well, for instance, I can see you're being played for a sucker.
Harrigan, I'm warning you.
Joe, cut it out. You're not half as tough as you think you are. Regan's using you, and you're going to find yourself way up the creek without a paddle. What makes you so sure he'll meet you in Las Vegas tomorrow night?
Why?
No answer, is there? And remember, you're committing the murder. If you're caught, Regan will be in the clear.
That's enough, Harrigan. Shut up.
Oh, no, Joe. There's one more little item. The loosened pins in the tail section. Now, I wonder if Regan could be guaranteeing the $50,000 for himself.
He wouldn't do that to me. He wouldn't.
Don't count on it.
That's all, Harrigan. Now sit in that chair.
Joe, what are you going to do?
Shut up and hand me that rope. Harrigan, I said sit down.
Okay.
Where's that rope?
Here.
Now, don't move. Sit still, you'll get hurt.
Yeah.
There, I'll hold you. Now, you, Miss Dixie, come here.
Yes, Joe?
Put your hands behind your back and face that wall. Hold still.
Joe, you're hurting me.
Ain't that too bad? There. That'll hold you until I get back.
Oh, Hoppy, he's furious.
Just what I wanted. And thanks for playing up to me the way you did, Dixie. You're a real actress.
Oh, I wasn't acting. I was scared to death. Do you think it'll work, Hop?
I hope so. Depends on whether he checks the plane thoroughly enough. The next few minutes will tell the story.
Squirming uncomfortably against the bonds, Hop and Dixie begin an anxious wait for Joe Bell's return. Don't miss the surprising climax of today's episode, gang, so stand by. At the beginning of Hop Harrigan, I was telling you something about the flying wing. How the designers felt that it was the most practical aeronautical design since the entire plane surface helped keep a plane in the air. So far, the Northrop Company has flown 12 of these tailless planes, and here are some of the things they claim. With the low drag and high lift features of the flying wing, the plane can transport weight farther and faster at less cost. The flying wing is a relatively simple design, a single unit from wingtip to wingtip, which means less construction cost, also less time in building. In a conventional type plane, you carry your cargo in the fuselage. That means you have to strengthen your construction in order to have the fuselage hang onto the wings. Well, now the problem is eliminated in the flying wing. You have compartments, and your cargo is distributed evenly along the wing itself. There are also advantages in the loading. Separate cargo doors in a flying wing give you access to any part of the cargo anytime you want to reach it. Well, now, how about the military flying wing? Number one, it makes a smaller target. Let's compare a flying wing of the same horsepower and weight to a B-29. So here's what the Northrop people say. They claim their plane will carry 1/4 more cargo and travel 25% farther with the same fuel load. What's more, the flying wing will go farther at a faster speed. Well, you may ask then, why don't we use flying wings? Well, new ideas that replace something already in use take time before they move in to take over. The first flying wing was flying in 1940. Problems have come up and have been cleared up one at a time, and I think it's safe to say you'll be hearing more and seeing more of the flying wing in the next couple of years. And fellas and girls, whether you'd like to fly conventional type ships or flying wings, always remember America needs flyers. And now back to our story. As Hop and Dixie Davenport wait anxiously for Joe Bell's return to the ranch house, the motion picture location camp, 90 miles to the north, is a scene of frantic activity, centered, of course, around the explosive director, Ivan Ivanov. Pacing up and down, gesticulating wildly, he issues countless orders as Tank is busy refueling the beachcraft.
Make a notation. The entire craft of the picture could be on the set early in the morning to welcome his Davenport back.
Yes, sir.
The landing field will be all lighted up. All the cameras turning where her airplane arrives.
Yes, sir.
You will call the presser. Have all the reporters here from all the papers all over the country.
Of course, sir.
What a magnificent opportunity. What a colossal spectacle it will be. I have inspiration. Yes, Mr. Peabody?
Oh, definitely, sir.
Do I forgot something?
Yes. What about the police?
The police? Oh, it's you, Mr. Tinker. I forget you are here.
I'm going to fly you back to Hop and Dixie, remember?
Of course. But why we must have the police?
Are you kidding?
There is only two villains, you said. Texas Regan and that lowlife Joe Bell. I'll be with you, Mr. Tinker. So will Mr. Peabody.
He'll be a big help.
I beg your pardon.
And last but not least, please, Mr. Mark Twain, our cameraman, will be with us.
Jumping Jennings, you're not going to stop and shoot pictures at a time like this.
What is better time? We strike it while the iron is burning. Mr. Peabody.
Yes, sir.
You are ready, yes?
Yes, sir.
And where is it, Mr. Mark Twain?
He's getting some extra film, sir. He'll be right back.
That is good. You are ready, of course, Mr. Tinker?
Yes, for just about anything.
So now, what are we ready for? Where do we find Mr. Hargan and Dixie Dugan?
They're in Regan's ranch house in one of the San Bernardino Valleys.
Excellent. You will fly us directly there, I'm presuming?
Yeah, but I still say it ain't going to be no picnic.
Mr. Tinker, I do not fail to say. Remember, Ivanov is director.
But this ain't a movie, doggone it.
Please do not shout. Your voice always gives me a headache.
Your pills, Mr. Ivanov.
Oh, take them away. For Dixie Darling, I will suffer. So now, Mr. Tinker, start it up to the aeroplane, please.
Okay.
One moment.
What now?
You're sure you know how to drive this aeroplane?
Yeah, sure. I can handle a blindfold.
No. Keep open the eyes. Oh, here comes Mr. McSwain, Mr. Ivanov. Very good. So, Mr. Tinker, we fly.
Okay. Got to get these masks and charts lined up.
So hurry up.
Oh, my gosh.
Something is wrong, Mr. Tinker?
The map. I can't find the map.
What do you say? What map?
The one I marked showing the valley where the ranch house is.
You need the map?
You're going right, I need it. I can't find a place without it. Got to be here. Oh, I put it with this bunch of...
Come, Mr. Tinker. You are holding up the wheels of advancement.
It's good. It ain't here. Now I'll never find Hop.
His big, homely features a mask of despair. Tank calls to the pile of charts again, but it's useless. The all-important map is gone, and without it, he can't possibly find the hidden valley. Gang, you won't want to miss our next action-packed episode, so be sure to listen. Tune in and fly with Hop Halligan, America's ace of the airwaves. Come on, Hop. We'll be seeing you same time, same mutual station. Hop Harrigan is a transcribed, copyrighted feature appearing in All American Comics magazine.